Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Tezayin Rebeis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with a similar statement from the previous teaching that we had quoted, where the Gemara was interpreting for the other man, the Amud. What does it do with the other man, the Amud's Pasuk? There was proving the halacha that a person is not supposed to have marital relations during the daytime. So there was a concept brought in Sefer Ben Tzir about three I hate and the fourth I don't like. So similarly, on the similar teachings, Amar B'Shimon Ben Yechai, says, Arba Dvar Ma'Kadosh Baruch Hu Sanan. There's four things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, Vani Eini Oyevin, and I don't like them. Hanichnas LaBeisei Pissam. Someone suddenly comes into his house unannounced, Ve'in Tzorach Lema LaBeis Chaver, and for sure, I don't have to say that's a problem. He's coming into his friend's house unannounced. People might be doing things that are private. Additionally, Vo'ichiz Ba'amma Mashin Maim. Someone's holding onto his male member while he's urinating. And there's a Gittin type of Yitzayin Menalef. The third one is Umashtin Maim Orim Lefnei Mitasi. Someone urinates undressed in front of his bed. And the fourth one is Vahamashamish Mitasi Befnei Kol Chayav. Someone has marital relations in front of any living creature. So that last teaching, Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Shmuel, he says, Vafil Lefnei Achvarim, even in front of mice. So Amalei said to him, Shinna Sharp One Loi No. And like a Goyin Shel Beis Pliny, rather, it's referring to humans, like in that a certain person he was referring to his household, that they have marital relations in front of their slaves and in front of their maidservants. Says the Gemara, and what did that family expound? Why did they do that? Says the Gemara, because they expounded the Pasuk in Bereishis that says, Shvu lechem poyim machamar, stay over here with the donkey, which was referring to Eliezer Eved Avram, which was from the family of Canaan, which are considered slaves, which am hadem lechamar, with the donkey could be read, the people that are similar to the donkey, meaning they consider their slaves as animals, which is not a problem, it's only for human beings, and therefore they did it, but he said that that's not appropriate in front of living people to go ahead and have marital relations. Now, additionally, the Gemara tells us that Rabba Bar Avuna Mekarkish Zagi Dekilta. There were these bells that were hanging from the canopy around his bed, and he would ring those bells when he was going to have relations to have his family members be removed from there, again, but not to have relations in front of another person. Abaya Bali Didvi. He actually would chase away the flies, actually, like the literal translation would said, not to have mad relations in front of any living creature, even flies. And Rava, Bali Pruchi, he would even swat away the gnats, the Zyatushim, mosquitoes, not to have even those around when he's having marital relations. Now, another teaching from Amr B'Shimon Yoichi, another list, says, Hey Devarim Hein, there are five things, Sha'isa Isan, Mischaiv Benafshi, that whoever does it is liable for his life, meaning he caused it to himself, V'damei Bereishi, and he has blood on his head, where he's going to be punished for himself. He's going to be summoned for causing his own downfall after his death, and they are ha'echel shum kalif, someone who eats peeled garlic, ubetzel kalif, peeled onion, ubeya klufo or a peeled egg, v'ashei semashki mezugin, if someone drinks diluted beverage sha'avar alein halayla, and that's going on all the things we just said, on the garlic and the onion and the egg and the beverage that were left out overnight, and also v'halon b'vesek, if someone sleeps in the cemetery. And v'hanutl tzipan the bezerkin l'shazram, someone takes his fingernails and throws it into the public domain. And v'hamakas dam m'shamash b'tasev, someone lets blood, which is a procedure that they would do in Talmudic times about removing some of the blood for medicinal purposes, but it weakens a person, and then he has marital relations. All these five things are things which are dangerous, and therefore a person is bringing it on himself, and he's going to be summoned for having done these dangerous things. So the Gemara explains these things. Ha'echel shum kalif v'chulav, someone eats the peeled garlic and the peeled onion and the peeled egg, etc. So says the Gemara, v'avakav demanchi besilta, and this is even if they were placed in a basket, u'mitzari v'chasimi, and it was tarred and sealed and it was left out overnight, still that's a problem because ruach rosh arilin, there's an evil spirit that rests on those things that were peeled, the garlic, the onion, and the egg, and therefore it's still going to be dangerous. But, says the Gemara, V'loy Marin el d'loy shari b'hani karin. That's only if they didn't leave over part of the root, which are like these stringy hairs that come out from the top of the garlic or the onion, oy klipasin, or there wasn't at least some of the peel left on. Av shari b'hani karin oy klipasin lesson, but if the root or the peel was left on, so then it's not going to be a problem, the fact that it was peeled, and regarding the danger of the evil spirits. Additionally, we said, V'ashesa mashkin mezugin sh'avar alein alaylo. Part of this dangerous thing is to drink a diluted beverage that was left out overnight. So Rabbi Yehuda Meshumel, he says, this is only if it was left out overnight in a metal vessel. And Amra Papa, he says, this Nesser vessel is some type of a carbon, some type of a material. It has the same halacha as a metal kli to have this danger. If it was left out overnight in the metal vessel, and this nasser type of a type of material, this organic material is also going to be like metal for this danger. Now, we continue and said, someone sleeps in the cemetery. Again, there's also, says the Gemara, why would someone sleep in the cemetery? So that the impure spirit should rest on him, like those who do illusions and optical illusions and different illusions, and they want to have that evil, that impure spirit on them. But zimnan demisaknele, sometimes those spirits could endanger him, and therefore, if someone's doing this, then he's responsible for his life. Additionally, we said, "Vanitl sipanim bezerkim l'shusram." If someone takes his fingernails and he throws it into the public domain, what's problematic with that? Because a pregnant woman could step over those fingernails, which could cause her to miscarry, and therefore that's the liability of this person who did this. Now, but says the Gemara, "Veloy marin el deshakel bekenustri." But this is only if he cut his nails with a scissor or some type of a tool. "Veloy marin el deshakel didei b'dikari." And it's only if he cut it diadei udikari, only if he cut his hands of his nails and of his feet. And also, "Veloy marin el legaz midi basrai." And it's only if he didn't cut anything after that. "Avogaz midi basrai." But if he cut something after that, less lamba, then we don't have this problem. Which the Gemara says, "Valay, it's not true." The kulam mischashin, all the cases we just described, we are concerned for any type of situation where there's a fingernail in the public domain is a problem, and it's his liability because it could have a woman miscarry. Tarabon learned the brayse gimel dvarim nema b'tzipper naim. There was three categories said regarding cutting fingernails. Sarfan chasid, the one who burns his fingernails is a pious person, which is better than the righteous person in the next category, because when you bury, there's still a concern that it might get uncovered. So, therefore, the one who burns it is pious. Kaivrin tzaddik, if someone buries it, okay, he's righteous, because ultimately he's not throwing it out in the open. Zarkin rush, if someone just throws it out into the street, that's a wicked person, again, like we said, because it could cause a woman to miscarry. Now, we said, the last one, those v'amak is dama m'shamash mitasa. If someone does this bloodletting, and then he has marital relations, that's something that is his liability. Because dama ma, the master said, mak is dama m'shamash mitasa. Someone that lets blood and then has marital relations, having lebanim v'sakin, he has weak children. Again, because bloodletting weakens the body, and then having relations, that passes that on. He keys v'shnei m'shim shub, they both let blood and then they have marital relations. Have lebanim bali ros, and then they have very weak children, very much, where they have this type of a sheret, some type of a vermin, a bug in their brain, as the Gemara says, ksubis, and therefore, again, that's something that's dangerous. Now, Amarav, he says, but this only if, after letting blood, before having relations, they didn't taste anything. But if they tasted something, they regained some of their strength, then that's not a problem. Now, going back to the topic from the previous daf, Amarav Chizdi says, Asla Adam Shishamash Mitasa Bayam. It's forbidden for a person to have marital relations during the daytime. Shemak says a pasuk, famous pasuk, V'avtarecha kameichu, you should love your friend as yourself. Says, what do you see from that pasuk about having relations during the daytime? So Amabai, he says, because it's out in the open, it's sunny, and he's going to see, and they're in their state of undress, and he's going to see something disgraceful about, where you could see anything on the body, if it's a scandal of it, she's going to be disgraced by him, and therefore he's not going to love her as himself, and therefore that's a violation of that pasuk, therefore a person should not have relations during the daytime. Amrav, when he says, Yisrael Kadeshim, Jews are holy, and therefore they don't have marital relations during the daytime. Now, Amar Ravi says, but Vimhoya Bayis Afal Mutter, but if it's a dark house, you don't have that problem. It's permitted. Now, additionally, he says, Vitamal Chacham, a Talmudic scholar who knows how to be modest, so then Mafal Bekisusa Umashamish, he could cover over with this cloth and he could have marital relations, and that's not going to be a problem of what we mentioned before regarding having relations during the daytime. Now, the Gemara, however, asks, Tan, we learned in our Mishnah that Bishame said, you have to Bedika before and after every relations in that one night. He says, we only have two bediga claws, so oita shamash l'aron there, or you have marital relations to the light of the candle. But didn't we say you can't have relations when there's light? Says the Gemara, aim a tivdik l'aron there. No, of course, you're not going to have relations at the light of the candle. That's forbidden. Rather, what he was saying was, check, you'll have it in the dark, but then you have, let's say, in the next room, check to the light of the candle, and then that will accomplish what Bishami needs to have, that before every relations, you have to make sure that you're having a clean cloth. You could use the same one, but you'll know because you checked. But the Gemara continues asking, Tashema, we had brought a braisa in the beginning of the previous daf and Amud Beis that said, even though they said that some have relations to the light of the candle, that's disgraceful, as the braisa had brought. But Bishame said, look, what are you going to do? We have to make sure for Tahari, you have to do a bedika before and after, so you'll have relations to the light of the candle. But obviously, you see from the Braisa that it's only a magun, it's something disgraceful, but it's not forbidden. Because from the fact that Beishamah said, Oy teshamash l'araner, you can't say that, oh, it doesn't mean having relations mean checking it by the light of the candle. Because then why would the Braisa be saying, oh, even though they said that this is disgraceful, what's disgraceful? Tashmish. So obviously, we're going on the Tashmish that it's only disgraceful and not forbidden. Says the Gemara, no, Amos say, Habaydik mi tase la'ur haner ha'rezim aguna. It's talking about not relations. Relations are forbidden with light. It's whoever checks themselves, meaning the woman who does her bedika before relations and checks it to the light of the candle, that's disgraceful because you can't check it very well to the light of a candle. Even so, that's what Beshem was saying. Either you bring two cloths for every relations or you'll check it to the light of the candle. Which is not great, it's disgraceful, but that's at least the best you can do. But it's not going on to actual relations, because that's forbidden by the light of the candle or during the daytime. But the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring a different eye from the following braisa. It says, V'shal beis munvas hamelech, the household of King Munbaz, ha'yoysen gimel devarim, they did the following three things, u'maskirin oysen l'shvach, and the sages recalled them praiseworthy for these things. First of all, they had married relations during the daytime. Second of all, they would check themselves before relations with cotton, because that's something that's very white, and you could then see, even if there's a drop the size of a mustard seed of blood, or actually, this actually refers to the other thing that could be used for bedika cloths, which are wool that's clean and very soft. And the third thing is, they knew how to accustom themselves with the laws of Tumah Tahara regarding snow. One thing says the Gemara Ketanim Mia, we learned the first thing was Meshamashim Mitesem B'Yayim, that they had marital relations during the daytime. You see, it's not forbidden. Says the Gemara, no, Eim Abaydkin Mitesem B'Yayim, means they would check their cloths during the daytime, which, like we said, it's to the contrary. To check the cloth at nighttime, to the light of the candle, is not so great. What they did was they checked the cloths during the daytime, not the actual relations. And the Gemara says, Hachna Mestav, it's actually logical to say, like we're answering, because these are Gedadik Meshamshin, if it's literally like we had read, that they actually had relations during the daytime, so Maskirinois and Lashvach, so for that they would call them praiseworthy. In other words, even if you would say that it's permitted, we would wonder, okay, fine, it's permitted, but to say that, and that's what they would call them praiseworthy, what's the praise about having relations during the daytime? Says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya, it's not a proof, because Enechanami, I could even tell you that it's actually praiseworthy that they had relations during the daytime. Why? Because the agav the ikka oinashina, since at nighttime you have the pull, the draw of sleep, at nighttime a person gets very tired, gets sleepy. And to the contrary, meganya ba'ape, actually she could become disgraceful in his eyes because he doesn't really want her now, he's very tired. And he's just having relations to fulfill his mitzvah of oina, of having obligatory conjugal rights for his wife, or just to appease her because she wants, but he's going to be disgusted with her. And having relations that way, as the Gemara says in Dam Nafcha Vam Beis, actually is one of the nine types of attributes which actually have problem types of children. So it's not a raya, because actually it could have been something that's praiseworthy that they had relations during the daytime. You're saying it's not a raya, fine, you could say that's forbidden, but it wouldn't be a proof, because you could actually would say that it is something praiseworthy. Now we said another thing that they did praiseworthy was Ubaitkin Mitesain Bemili Parhava, that they would check their Bidika cloths, the woman would check herself with the Bidika cloths, with the cloths that are made out of Mila Parhava, which I said is either cotton or which is clean and soft wool, which the Gemara says, Mesayel Shmuel, which supports Shmuel according to either interpretation. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Ein Baitkin Asamita Illa Bebekoil, the woman doesn't check herself with a cloth, rather, either only if it's cotton, or wool that's clean and soft. Now, Amar Rav, he says, Hainu, now I get the Chihab HaHasim, that when I was there in Eretz Yisrael, Be'arv Shabbos is on Erev Shabbos, which Friday night is the time that those who are Tamid HaChacham and people that are separate from the pleasures of this world, they have married relations only on Friday nights. The Havar Ami, that people used to say, Man Bay Pekuli B'Nahama, who wants cotton for bread, which Tashmish, in a euphemistic, in a clean way, is called bread. Like regarding one's wife, it says, Kima lalecha masho eichel, but regarding the bread that he eats, that's referring to his wife and having relations. He says, V'lei dana mekama, I didn't know what they were saying. Now I get it. The cotton for the bread refers to doing the bedika before the relations that he's going to have with his wife on Friday night. Now Amar Rav, he says, Hani shachaki de kisna, these worn-out garments made out of linen, ma'ali bedika, using those worn-out garments, they're good for doing an internal examination. So the Gemara, is that really so? But Vatan de Menashe, we have a Bryce in the Yeshiva of Menashe that said, in Beit Knesset, you can't check the woman can't do an inspection, loy be'ed adam, not with a red cloth, loy be'ed shachar, not with a black cloth, loy be'ed pishtin, not with linen, because linen is not white, and blood is only recognizable only on a white cloth, elo be'pekoilin, only if it's cotton, loy be'temen okivarach, or if it's soft white wool. So how could he say that you could do it with linen? Says Gemara, it's not difficult. Habakistna, this price is talking about literally flax. Flax you can't use. Habamani bekistna. But Rav was talking about a cloth made out of linen. That cloth would be recognizable to see the blood and is efficient for a bedika cloth. Or the Yibayim, if you want, you could say, no, habamani bekistna. Both are talking about a linen cloth. But habachadati, the price is talking about a new one. That not, because that's not so white. But Rav was talking about when it's worn out, it's whiter than when it's new, and therefore that then is effective for a bedika cloth. Now the third thing we said praiseworthy regarding the family of Munvas HaMelech was Noigin Tumah V'Tar B'Shlagin, that they accustomed themselves regarding the laws of Tumah Tar regarding snow, which the Gemara brings an example of what that would mean. It's not Hasan. We learned in the Tisefta, in the Brice, that says as follows: Shelig Einu Lo Eichav Lo Mashka. Snow, it's not a food item, and neither is it a beverage. Now, chishav lav lachila, if someone, let's say, thinks regarding it that he wants it to be a food item, edem atama tumah sechem, that doesn't give it the tumah of food stuff. It's not going to become tummy as a food. Lamashke, if someone has in mind that he wants to have the snow as a beverage, as a liquid, then matama tumah mashke, then it actually will contaminate a tumah as a liquid, because snow is closer to be a liquid than being a food item. Now, nitma miktsasai, if in that case, now that it's susceptible to tumah, if part of it becomes tummy, that doesn't make the whole snow tummy, because it's not considered connected. Rather, each particle of snow is considered distinct by itself, and therefore only the place that got touched is going to have a tumma of where it got touched. Now, nitar, if it became tahar. Now, for example, if let's say we're talking about where, again, someone had in mind that he wanted the snow to be as a beverage, so it could then become tummy as a liquid. Then what the Brice is telling us is that it could become tar. How so? With the concept known as hashaka. Shaka means touching, kissing, where you have the water is touching the snow, which you're considering like water, like a liquid, is touching the mikvah waters. Then it's like other waters. Now, this doesn't work through the medium of what's known as tefillah, of immersion, because food items and beverages cannot become purified in the mikvah, because the halach of tefillah of immersion was not said regarding liquids. It was only said regarding a person or regarding a vessel. But wine or other beverages, you can't purify. The one exception is water, because of the concept known as zriya, of planting. When you do this hashaka, this kissing of the waters, that's connecting the waters of the mikvah with the waters in the vessel, and then becomes nullified, becomes like part of the mikvah. As the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Trumas, that the seeds of truma that became tummy and then it was planted, so that becomes purified from being tummy anymore. Why? Because it's zri, it got planted, and it becomes nullified, it starts all over. Water touching water is also like it's zri, it's like it's planting, it like becomes part of those waters of the mikvah. So that's what the Braitza says. If you purified miktsasai, part of the snow, which means to say that the part of the snow that touched the waters of the mikveh was only the top of the vessel that's holding the snow, still nitar kulei. All the snow will become tar. Now the Gemara wonders, haguf akasha. We have a contradiction here, seemingly in the Braitza itself. Amrit miktsasai li nit mekulei. He said that if part of the snow becomes tummy, all of it doesn't become tummy. Yet, Bahadutani, then you say, Nitta Miktasi, Nitta Kule, that if some of it becomes purified, all of it becomes purified. So the fact that you're saying all of it becomes purified, obviously you're talking about a case that all of the snow became tummy. Remember, the Nitma Kule, is that to tell us that all the snow could become tummy? How could you have a case that something that's tummy is touching all of this snow? There's snow inside the snow. You can only touch, let's say, the exterior of the snow. How is all the snow becoming tummy? It's only what gets touched. So Amabaya says, yes, it's possible. It's like if someone passed the snow al aver taner in the ear space of an oven that has a sheretz, a dead sheretz inside of it, which then it becomes tummy from just being in the ear space of the earthenware vessel. The Torah he'idak lecheres, because the Torah testifies regarding an earthenware vessel, which is what an oven is, that it says kol asher b'toch yitma, whatever is inside becomes tummy as a ketin tamas beis afula mali chardel, even if it's full of mustard seeds, which is that not all touching the walls of the oven, only the seeds that are by the walls. And even so, the Pasuk tells us that all of them become tummy from the ear space, so therefore all of the snow could become tummy, and that's what we're saying, that if part of it becomes tar, then all of it becomes tar. Now, continue with the halacha, the next Mishnah. Continue on this theme regarding this halacha of our Masechta of Dan Nida. So, mashli mashal chacham be'isha. Chacham gave a metaphor regarding a woman, and specifically regarding what we're talking about over here, regarding the menstrual blood, what makes her into a nida, both relating to forbidden relations with a husband, regarding the laws of tumah tahara that we've been discussing. So you have a cheder, which literally means, say, the room, which refers to the womb, the uterus, v'ha'prais, so you have the corridor, which you mustn't explain exactly the dimensions, and you have v'halia, and you have upper story, so it's like coming through the corridor, the praisder, if one's coming through panesh shalmata, through the vaginal canal is the praisder, and you have the room in the back, and you have an upper story on top of that. Says the Mishnah, Dama Chedu Tame. The blood of the room, meaning of the Makar, of the uterus, that's what's Tame. That's what we know as menstrual blood. That's what makes a woman into a Nida. Dama Liatar. But the blood of the upper story, which Mefarshim explained exactly anatomically, what does this mean? How do we understand this in regards to the science that we understand? But it's some blood that's coming from a top, not from the uterus. That blood, if it comes from there, that's Tahar. Now, says the Mishnah, Nimtza Bepraiser, if you find blood in the corridor, so Sveikai Tame, which Rashi explains what that means to say is, that out of doubt, this that we're saying, that the blood that you find in the corridor is going to be tummy, is a definitive tummy. But although it's a doubt, but we're going to say that it's definitively tummy, because the presumption is that it's coming from the uterus. And that's what we're presuming it's coming from. And we don't say that it came from the upper story, which, as we said just before, that the blood from the upper story, from a different part of the woman's body, is tar. Now the reason is because the blood doesn't come from the corridor itself. Rather, it comes primarily from the cheder, from the uterus. Now, the blood, the upper story, sometimes it drips down into the praisder. So although it's a doubt, but we presume, and therefore we say definitively, that it's dam from the makar, and therefore it should be considered as a nida. Now, the Gemara brings that Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yitzchok, Berei Rav Yehuda, these two Amayram, Tanu Nida Bei Rav Huna. They were learning this Masechta of Nida in the yeshiva of Rav Huna. And the Shkechinu Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, the son of the Rosh Hashiva, he encountered them, the Yasvi Vikarmi, that they were sitting, they were saying the following halacha. As we said in the Mishnah, similarly, Hacheder Mibifnim. So they were saying, they were showing the actual structure, the room, which is the uterus, that's from within, more with, if one is facing the woman, it's deeper into the woman. And the corridor is on the outside. So you have both of them near each other, in the depth of her body. The uterus is more towards her back, and the praisder is more in front. And then you have the vaginal walls on the bottom, which is in the middle of the corridor, which is where the blood comes out of the woman's body. And you have Valiya Benuy Alshtein. You have the upper story that's built on both of them. So on top of both, in the back room, meaning the cheder and the corridor, on top of them is this upper story. Now, velul pasuach ben alila praiser. There's this little opening, this little pipe that's open between the upper story and the corridor. And so therefore, if there is blood of the upper story that comes to the praiser, it comes through that lul. So they said as follows. Nimtza, if the woman finds in the praiser blood, min halul ulufnim, from the area of the lul, inner, meaning more inner from the pipe that comes down from the upper story, meaning towards the cheder, towards more inner, towards the uterus. So then sveikei tummy. So then that doubt is going to be considered as tummy, because if you would think it came from the aliyah, from the upper story, then it would have been from the lul outward. That's where it should have been found, because if it's dripping down from the lul to the corridor, it would have been going outward, because that's how the woman's body goes. That's how it flows out. And it would go out where it goes out, and it wouldn't go backwards. Which, therefore, the Gemara is later on going to ask on this. So that shouldn't be safekei tummy. It should be definitively tummy, because you're saying it didn't come from the aliyah. So for sure came from the cheder. Why are they saying safekei tummy? That's going to be a question that is going to be addressed. But that's if you find it more inner from where the lul is. Because if it's coming from the lul, it's going out, not in. But min halul l'chutz, if you find in the praiser, more outer from where the lul is on top of that, so then sveikei tar. So then that doubt is tar, because we don't know now where it came from. It could have come from the cheder, could have come from there. So therefore, out of doubt, we consider the woman as tar. We're not presuming that it's dam in a makar. Now, also, so Rabbah, who overheard these two students discussing this halacha, he came, but Amalei Lavu, he came and he said to his father, the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Huna, he said, Sveikai Tomei Amrit Lon Mar, did the master tell us, he was presuming that the halacha they were saying over was from the Rosh Hashiva, from his father, that it's going to be a doubtful Tomei when you find it Minalul Ulufnim, and not definitively, from the fact that they were saying Minalul Uchot Sveikai Tar, and Minalul Ulufnim is Sveikai Tomei. But Vanan Sheches Kasev in the Makartz. Now, but we learned in our Mishnah that we presume that it came from the uterus, from the fact that it's Ches Kasa, that it's Chazaka. Obviously, we're saying that we presume it to be that way, and we're giving it a definitive tumah. But the halacha of our Mishnah, how are you going to explain it? It can't be minalul lefnim, and it can't be minalul lechutz, because according to you, there's no definitive tumah. That the way your students are saying that on the outside is Svekei Tar, and the inside of that area, meaning more inward, is Svekei Tame, but there's no definitive. But our Mishnah seems to indicate that when you find Dam and the Prizer, there is a case that there's a Chazaka that's going to be definitive Tama. So Malaysa, he said to his son Rabbah, no, Anohoche Kamina, you're right. The way I learned it was as follows. Minalulu Lufnim, more inner from where the area of the opening from the top is Vadei Tame. You're right, that's for sure Tame, and that's the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah, when you find Dam in the Prizer, we're talking about more inner from the area of the pipe coming from the upper story. If it's from the pipe outward, so then Sveikai Tame. It's not tar like those students were saying, it's not definitively tummy, then that doubt is going to be doubtful of tummy, meaning to say that, okay, we're not sure if she's an Ida, and therefore we have to suspend any tires that she would touch to say that, okay, it's going to be tummy me suffering. Because already in that area, there's two bloods that go through that area. You have the blood of the uterus, you have the blood of the upper story. We don't know where it's coming from. So although that you could presume that there's blood from the upper story, and you would actually seem to think that it should be coming from there, because to the contrary, if you would think that it's coming from the uterus, then it shouldn't have gone through the prizdar until the area past the lul, because if it was coming through the uterus, it should have gone down through the woman's vaginal area and not gone so far forward in the prizdar. But on that, Rav Huna is saying that no, because maybe, and we'll see this in the question that Abai is going to ask, maybe she bent over and she fell on her face. And therefore then the blood that was, more further back in the corridor, maybe came from back and went forward, more forward, when it came out of the uterus, and now we could find it here, minalul ulachutz, it could be more further in our body. So therefore, it's a suffix, and misafik is going to be tame, but it's not going to be definitively tar. Now, I'm Abaya, but Abaya asked on this premise, like we had just alluded to this concept. It says, why is it any different when the woman finds blood in the prizer, which is, let's say, more forward in her body, which is past the area of the lul? The Sveikai Tame, you say, oh, that's out of doubt going to be considered Tame, and not like the students said, it's not going to be definitively tar. Why? Because the Dilma Shachsa Mahadar Asa, like we had just explained, as we spoke out, because maybe she bent over, and although if it's coming from the uterus, it should have been like in the more external and more interior part of her vaginal area and not been in the front of the prizer, but could be she bent over and could be therefore they made the blood fly forward. So then, minalul lefnim nami, so Abai asked, then the other halacha too, when it's in the more inner part, meaning further back from where the lul is, there also then you should say, emes dakra, say maybe that she jumped backwards, like when she fell on her back. And then you could say, umaliyasa, maybe that blood came down from the upper story into the corridor. But then, wait a second, it was coming from the aliyah, so then why didn't it come through the corridor in the front of the area? Why is it then in the back? No, that you could say simply because she jumped back. And therefore, since you could also presume that, so then that should be at least a suffix tumma, not definitively. Why are you saying then if you find minalul lefnim, then it is vade tumma? Just like over there you say suffix here also, it should be suffix going the other way. Say, Elam Abai, rather Abai says you're right. He disagrees. He says as follows. It says, Ibasr chashasha azlas, if you go based on the suspicion and suspect, and you don't presume that blood necessarily went in its normal, natural way, rather you come to be concerned. You say, okay, well, people go in different ways, and they jump, and they move the body, maybe she fell forward. So then, idvidi safiku. So he says, and then both cases should be a doubt. Just like you're in doubt when it's minalul l'chutz, that maybe she bent over, and therefore you're not going to say it's tar, you can say it's tamim misafik. So then he says the same way also as a leniency. You also have to then be in doubt, minalul l'fnim, maybe she jumped back, and therefore it's not definitively tamim, it's going to be only safik tamim. But vibasa chazaka, but if you're going to go based on presumption, that we presume that blood goes as it normally does, I'm not concerned that maybe she fell forward or she jumped back, then min alul lufnim vaditami, then you're right, okay, then if it's from within the lul, it's more internal, then it's going to be for sure tummy, because then we know for sure it came from the uterus, because it was coming out, like we said, from the aliyah, then it would have been min alul ulechutz, we should have found it over there. And therefore, the halacha of our Mishnah says chaskasim in the makar, that we presume and we say for sure it's tummy, then that would be told by minalul lefnim. But then says Abai, if that's the case, minalul lechutz vaditar, then we should say also, then if it's from beyond the area of the lul, more outward, then we should say that for sure she's tar. And that we're not going to say that, oh, maybe she bent over, and we have to then say, oh, maybe it's a suffix to suspend any taras that she touched. No, rather we presume things to be as they normally are, and therefore it should be vaditar. So Abai says, either one or the other, you can't say one yeah, one not. Now, regarding all these different opinions, the Gemara now brings it as it relates to Tanoic teachings. Tan Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya taught a braisa. Dama nimtza b'praisa. Blood that's found in the corridor. So, which means say a woman does a bedika, she goes inside, she checks, and she finds dam in the praisa. So, chayav nalav al bias mikdash. So, the blood that she found, now, if she goes into the Beis HaMikdash, she's going to be liable because we say for sure that she's tummy. So there's going to be liability for karbanas, for the chiyuv of going into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of tumah, which the Gemara later on is going to explain. Where in the praise did she find the dam? Was it min alul lufnim? Was it min alul chutz? But right now, Reb Chiya is saying that she's for sure tummy, she's going to be liable. Ubesarvin labesa truma. If she touches truma, we say for sure she was in nida, and we're going to even burn it. That's Reb Chiya. Reb Katina, he says, no, en chayav in the love al Beis HaMikdash. No, you're not liable for the carbon for having coming to the Beis HaMikdash in the state of tuma. So the term not being chayiv sounds like, yes, there is an iser, it's prohibited because he holds that there's a suffix over here, but you're not going to be liable because as a suffix that doesn't create a liability, and therefore the in-serving love is a truma. You're not allowed to eat the truma, but you don't burn the truma either. He holds that it's not a vadoi, it's not a tume vadi, it's a suffix. So now says the Gemara, we see how these two opinions play itself out according to the Amaruk opinions we had mentioned before. Says the Gemara as follows. According to that version that we said from Abaye that says, look, if you're going to go based on concern, then you always have to go based on concern. So then Abaye had said that both of them are going to be situations of doubt, not just from back to front, but also from front to back. Says the Gemara, Mesayel Rav Katina. That version supports what we just quoted from Rav Katina, who he said that it's always going to be a situation of doubt. And we explained that that's going to be both Minalul Lufnim and Minalul Luchutz. Baru Pligid Reb Chiya. That's going to be disputing Reb Chiya on this halacha of Abaye, because obviously, according to Abaye, according to this version, you never have a tumma vadi, you never have a definitive tumma. Doesn't make a difference if it's in front of the lul or in back of the lul, or as we'll see shortly, if it's on the roof of the praiser, on the floor of the praiser, meaning in the vaginal canal, on the top or the bottom. Because once he's saying that the reason is that you have to be concerned, all of them are going to be situations of doubt, because you never know which position the woman's going in. So that's obviously not like Reb Chiya, who he had said, wherever it is, we don't know where exactly he was talking about, but anywhere in the praise that he says Chayav Nalav Beis Mikdash is obviously not like Abaye, but it's like Rav Katina, who he said that it's a suffix, and will explain that halacha was in all situations in the praise. Now, that was according to that version of Abaye. L'hach lishno da'amrit ibasa chazaka asas, but according to the other option that Abaye gave, that he says, but it has to be uniform, that no, we'll go presumptively where we assume it's coming from, not thinking the woman jumped forward or backwards. Well, then actually, Misayel Reb Chiya, that version would support Reb Chiya, which we'd explain. When does Reb Chiya say that's Vadei Tameh? That's Minalul Olufnim. So it's before the area of where it drips down from the top, obviously it came from the uterus, and therefore it's going to be Vadei Tameh. But as Katin Tab of Yitzchak Zeman Aleph, according to this version, Pli Rav Katina, that disputes Rav Katina on this version of Abaye, because according to this version of Abaye, you never have a case of a Tameh Mesafik. Because since he says that the reason is it depends on the Chazaka, on the normal way things are, so it doesn't make a difference if it's on the roof or on the floor, the Halach is going to be, Menalol Lefnim, it's Tameh Vadik, it's for sure it came. How else would it come for the Lul? We don't suspect that there was a jump. And Menalol Lechutz would be Tahar Vadik. So obviously that option would be not like Rav Katina. That is, again, how we explain from Abaye, where he says either one or the other, but one version of the Chashasha is going to be like Rav Katina, and the other one of Chazaka is going to be like Rav Chiya. Now, says the Gemara, L'Rav Huna, that he, as we recorded, he said to his son, that he said, Oh, minalulu lefnim, from with before the area of the lul coming from the cheder, he says vade tame, and he said minalulu chutz is going to be safik tame. Says the Gemara, according to his version, loy pligi. Reb Chiya and Reb Katina is not disagreeing with him, and neither is it disagreeing on each other, because kan minalulu lefnim, Reb Chiya is talking about that it's within the area, it's before the area of the lul. So yeah, there it's going to be vade tame, like Reb Huna had said to his son. Kan Rav Katina, who says it's going to be Safik Tami, is Me'alul L'chutz, is beyond the area of the Lul, which is Safik Tami, which exactly like the two halachas, like Rav Huna said. Fine. But El Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak Bari Debi Huda, that actually started off the conversation. We actually went backwards now. When Abaye was the last one we mentioned, Rav Huna was the one before that, and then the first thing that started off this conversation were the two Tamidim that were sitting and learning. They said, Me'alul L'chutz, Sveikei Tami. They said, beyond the area of the Lul, going outwards, that's a Safik, is going to be Tar. From within the area of the lul, that suffix is going to be tummy. Now, obviously, you have to say that Hani, that this teaching of Rav Chiya and Rav Katina from this braisa, according to them, how are you going to interpret it? Must be, according to them, must be tugma from within the area of the lul, because there's, according to these two students, there's not even a suffix, because they said it's going to be tar. And both opinions said either that it's a suffix or it's a vaday. So rather we have to say it's toma minalul lefnim, and the opinion of Katina, who said that it's a suffix tummy, is going like them. But that's what the Gemara wants to say. But according to Reb Chiya, who said that it's going to be tummy vadois, lema pligid Reb Chiya. Shall we say Reb Chiya is disagreeing with them? Because according to them, you never have tummy vadois. Within minalul lefnim, it's a suffix tummy. Minalul lechutz, it's a suffix tar. So therefore, shall we say it's not like, they're not like Reb Chiya? So it's going to be like Kasha, no, it's not difficult, he's not disagreeing. Kan, the teaching of Reb Chiya that said that it's going to be Vadei Tomom, is Minalul Ulefnim, Kishanimtze Bekarka Proiz, we're talking that it's on the floor of the vaginal canal, which that's the normal way if it's flowing, it's coming through the vaginal canal on the floor from the uterus. So then, yeah, they would agree to Reb Chiya that it's going to be Vadei Tomom. But Vakan, Rami and Rav Yitzchak, that they said that even Minalul Lefnim, that it's going to be Safik Tamei Navadei Tamei Isha Nimtze Begag Praiser. It's on the roof of the corridor from Minalul Lefnim, where the roof of the Praiser is closer to the upper story. So yes, you go based on the Chazaka. So therefore they'll agree to Reb Chiya and to the Halacha of our Mishnah that if it's on the ground, on the bottom of the vaginal canal, Minalul Lefnim, that's going to be Vadei Tamei. But when it's on the roof of the vaginal canal, if from minalul lefnim, so that's where they say, wait, this blood is not where it normally is in normal flow, because if it was coming from the uterus, it should have been on the bottom of the vaginal canal, because the uterus is low down and it's near the area of the bottom of the, it's flush with the floor of the vaginal canal. So if it was coming out from the upper story, that's also problematic, because then there should have been a lul chutz. So therefore, the doubt is both ways. Maybe it came from the upper story into the praiser, into the vaginal canal, and she jumped backwards. Or it came from the uterus into the praiser, but since she jumped, it came from the bottom upwards. So because of that doubt, that's what it's saying, Sveikei Tamei, and therefore, that's not even in disagreement with Reb Chiya, who says Vadei Tamei, because Reb Chiya was talking about was on the floor, it was in the bottom of the vaginal canal, and here it's on the top. Now, Rashi points out that since Rami and Rav Yitzchak didn't give a reasoning for their opinion, that's why the Gemara was able to give this answer to say, well, that it depends if it's on the roof or on the floor. But the reason why the Gemara couldn't say and resolve it for Abaye too, and the Gemara said according to that version, it's obviously Abaye is not like Reb Chiya, who goes, if you say Abaye says when you go Basa Chashasha, is obviously he's disagreeing with Reb Chiya, because Abaye, according to that option, said the reason is based on Chashasha. So whenever you could be suspect for either one, then you're going to have to say it's a suffix. So in that situation, even if it's on the karka of the praiser, it's on the bottom of the praiser, according to Abaye in that version, you still have to be mesupik. Well, maybe it came from the cheder, or maybe it came from the aliyah, because maybe she jumped back and forward and up and down. According to him, even if it's on the floor, it would have to be. So therefore, that according to that option of Abaye, we said it has to be disagreeing with Reb Chiya. But according to these two students, it's not necessarily, even though they said minalul lefnim, it's sveikei tamei, and Reb Chiya says it's vadei tamei, he's talking about it's on the bottom, which is the totally normal thing, and even they would agree it's going to be vadei tamei. And they were talking about Begaga Praiser, where there then equally we have a doubt regarding either one. It's wiser in this area. Must have been she jumped around. So then we have this suffix, and that's why it's only going to be Sveikei Tamei, not Vadei Tamei.